In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. February was Mom's birthday month. She would have been 94 years young on the 5th. One of the gifts given to me shortly after she passed away was the gold cross she wore around her neck. It was a birthday gift given to her by my middle sibling. It and the chain are awesome pieces of jewelry, and Mom never took it off until she started having more frequent trips to the nursing home and hospital. I have only worn it once in the almost 4 years since she has gone home to be with God, partly because I have my own cross to wear, and hers, well, it is a little large for my taste, but I suspect I will wear it again. There has rarely been a time in my adult life that I haven't worn a cross around my neck. I guess it's because it's a reminder to me that God is ever close. The cross is a powerful image, whether we wear one around our necks, have them hung in our homes, or see them in places of worship. There are bare crosses that are very simple, rustic, and almost crude, while others are made from silver, gold, or carved in stone like the one at Christ Church Cathedral. There are others that bear various depictions of the crucified Christ that show him battered, bloodied, and bruised, while others show us a sterilized version, showing only the nails in his hands and feet and the wound in his side. Still, there are others that show us Jesus post-resurrection and adorned in priestly garments, sometimes even with a crown upon his head. No matter the theology, tradition, architectural style, or taste, the cross is the number one symbol of our faith. Each of the four Gospels points to Jesus' death on the cross as the climax or the center, the apex of Jesus' work here on earth. His death on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice in God's plan and Jesus' ultimate act of love. It was also the bridge between our mortality and our eternal life with God. For without his death on the cross, there would not have been the resurrection. In the first 8 chapters of Mark's gospel, Jesus and his disciples have been traveling throughout the Galilean countryside and doing extraordinary ministry. His disciples have seen him healing the possessed, the sick, the deaf, and the blind. They witnessed him bring a little girl back to life and fill crowds with his teaching and with food. And even now as they traveled, Jesus' mind is clearly fixed on the ultimate journey they would be taking to Jerusalem and to the cross. In verses prior to this morning's gospel, Jesus and his disciples had just come from outside the villages of Caesarea Philippi when Jesus asked them what the people were saying about him, and just as importantly, who they, his disciples, thought he was. It was Peter who spoke up first and said, "You are the Messiah." But as brilliantly and divinely inspired Peter's answer might have been, no one imagined what was coming next. Because Jesus then began to teach the hard stuff. He began to teach his disciples that he would suffer, be rejected, die, and be raised to life again. This was not what they, especially Peter, expected to hear. The anointed one, the Messiah that they and all of Israel had long expected, was not supposed to suffer. The Messiah was not to be put to death. You see, the Messiah in their minds was supposed to charge right in there and deliver Israel from its oppressors with military power and prestige. Jesus was supposed to be that person. Peter, good old Peter, was so not having it. Eugene Patterson's translation, The Message, reads, Peter grabbed him in protest. Turning and seeing his disciples wavering, wondering what to believe, Jesus confronted Peter. "Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works." In other words, Peter, that is your plan. God has a different plan that I am willing to follow, that I must follow. And Satan, shut up. Jesus called the disciples together, along with the crowd, and said to them all in the clearest way he could, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Wow. Deny yourself. And then pick up your cross and follow me. For the disciples, there was suddenly more to traveling with Jesus and hearing him speak. There was suddenly more to watching him give sight to the blind or comfort to the sick and weary. There was suddenly more to hearing his parables and talk of the kingdom. If they wanted to be his disciples, they were going to have to take up their own crosses and follow, even if it meant death. They would have to give up their lives in order to gain them. On this second Sunday in Lent, we too are reminded that there is more to calling ourselves disciples and followers of Christ. There is more to it than admiring the crosses in our sanctuaries or the crosses that adorn our necks. We are told, as the disciples were told that day, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." Jesus' words are countercultural and counterintuitive to everything we human beings believe. Things like self-importance, power, prestige, and control. We like being number one. Yet again and again, saints, Jesus invites us to follow his example, to give in a culture that takes, to heal in a world that inflicts injury, to feed wherever there is hunger, to love in a world that hates and bullies, to forgive when others do nothing but condemn. We can either choose to choose ourselves and deny Jesus, or we can deny ourselves and choose Jesus. Yes, we can choose to pick up our cross, to surrender all for the sake of others by choosing God's way. Or we can choose to chuck it all and give in to the ways of the world, where there will forever be death and darkness. Jesus' words are hard, and the way of Jesus is not easy. But look at how Jesus trusted in God. Look how Jesus trusted in God's plan. He kept his eyes focused on Jerusalem. He kept his eyes focused on the cross. He chose resurrection over survival. He walks with us and bids us to do the same. Amen.